Is there anything you want God to touch for you? What he wants? Just say, Lord, please send me. One word from the Lord can alter the course of your life. Say, Lord, send me one word. He said, I sent my word and I healed them and I delivered them from their destruction. God is sending his word. God is sending his word. God is sending his word. Say, Lord, send me your word. Send me your word. And let your word bring me joy. Let your word bring me laughter. Let your word bring me strength. Let your word crown me with glory. I am crowned with glory. I'm receiving strength again. Thank you, Father. I bless you, Jesus. Take all the glory, Lord. For in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. So let's take our seats. All right. Let's read Luke chapter 22. We'll read from verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? They said nothing. Okay, let me just stop reading. Let's just read verse 35 alone. He said, when I sent you out without money, belt, and bag, and sandals, you did not lack anything. And they said, no, we didn't lack anything. Now, remember when he was sending them out, he told them not to take any belt, no money bag, nothing. He said, if they are going on assignment, it was counterintuitive. How are you going to go out and you're not taking anything as your, supplies, no preparation for supply. You see, he told them in Luke chapter 10 verse 4, he said, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. That is, do not try and tell anybody about your problems. That's what he was saying. Now, when I was in that Luke 22, he said, when I sent you out like that, did you lack anything? And they said, no, we did not lack anything. That's a very important thing. Now, there's something else I want us to read. I refer to this, but let's just quickly read another portion of the scriptures. Quickly. The book of Exodus chapter 6. I want to say something from there. Exodus 6. Now, I'm going to read from verse 2. God spoke further to Moses and said to them, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. Now, please notice what he said there. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. What is translated here as God Almighty is El Shaddai, which means the Almighty Provider, the God, the source of all nutrients. The word Shaddai has to do with nourishment from, like you breastfeed a child, Almighty Breasted One. Some will interpret that to mean. He said, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, we write it as Yahweh, but he said, by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Now, please, let me read it. Stop reading verse 4. God said to Moses, there was a way I revealed myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I did not reveal myself as creator. That was not the issue. I revealed myself as the God that supplies everything, takes care of all their needs, leads them about, surrounds them with protection, with everything they may need, all the nourishment for their life. I'm the one that brings it. Now, please follow these things I'm saying. Again, quickly open your Bible to the book of that same Exodus. Please go down to chapter 34. I may back up a bit to 33 to see something there. But anyway, let me just, for time's sake, let me just go down to that 34. I'll just tell the background story. If you go to 33, don't bother opening to it. I'll just tell the story. God was telling Moses, if your presence does not go with us, please don't lead us up from here. I don't know that. He now said he wanted to see God. He needed to see the Lord. He had been speaking with him. He had never seen him. So God now said something to him. He said, because you have found favor with me, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. Then Moses said, I pray you, this is where I'm going, show me your glory. And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Now let's go back to that 35. So what did God do to Moses here? In verse 5, he said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 6 says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now, notice this. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
All right. Now, I read these scriptures. We're going to pray in a moment, but let me just explain some things. Anytime God wants to provide for you, you know what he does? There are two things, all right? The Rec Prince will say all God's provisions are in his promises. But the second thing he does, when God wants to work with you and provide for you, the first thing he does, before he gives you promises, the first thing he does is to introduce or reveal himself to you. I hope you're getting my point. You will notice something. He was careful, all right? He told Moses to notice that there was a way he explained himself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he said, there was a way they understood me. Now listen to this. The way you understand God is the way he will manifest in your life. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It is the way you understand God that he will manifest in your life. This morning, as my family gathered to pray, while we were praying, I just had an idea. And I gave everybody an instruction. And I would like to do it here also. Let me see God helping me. But I'm doing it at home already. That every week, we shared it out. Week by week, each person will bring a revelation of the name of God for us. Did you hear what I said? Read your Bible. Each person has his week. So at the beginning of the week, you will tell us the name of God, the scriptures you got them from, what it implies. A short exhortation. At the end of the day, you give us a summary of the name of God. And we would declare it. We've been doing that for some time. When we finish praying, we declare that name. Everybody will declare it. So that will last us for a week. We'll write it down. Next week, if it's your turn, you come. You share the revelation of the name of God that you've collected from your scriptures. Do you follow? This one, we do it all the time. If I do that a lot. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. I normally stop there because those who he wants to punish, that one doesn't concern me. Do you get my point? It is the loving kindness he keeps for me, for my descendants after me. That is the one that matters to me, all right? The one who pour upon his adversary. It's good though, but right now I kind of don't need it so much. So I declare that a lot. So we took that again as an example. Everybody, this is what I mean. Find the name of God. If I once struck me, because I was reading some books, and now please listen to me carefully. Don't misunderstand me. Well, if you want to misunderstand, that's kind of a problem, but let me just say what I want to say. Do you know there was something that if you go and read in Israel, you know who the doctors were? When they left Egypt, you know who their doctors were? The priests. And that's the only thing they did was to do, they didn't give up, what they call it, prescribed treatment. They just did a bit of public health. All right? Come, let us see this lesion. All right, go and stay outside the camp for 5 days. That kind of thing. Why did you not have doctors? It's simple. God said, literally, say, I'm the Lord, your doctor. We read it commonly as, I'm the Lord that healed thee. Old English. But what he actually said is, I am the Lord, your doctor. So he expected everybody to be well. Not because human beings didn't fall sick, but because he said, I will heal. What he expected was that they will be well. And if you see, when Asa was sick, the Bible said, even in his sickness, he did not seek the Lord. That is, when a child of God is sick, he is supposed to seek the Lord. He said, but he ran after the physicians. Please, don't go to the hospital in the manner that God will be angry. You get my point? Yeah, you must first of all seek the Lord. I was reading somebody, he wrote something in a book I was reading and yesterday, over the last few days, I've read the book, beautiful book, one of Catherine Kuhlman's books. I think God Can Do It Again. And the person emphasized, whether it's the person or the doctor actually, that we have to recognize that doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, whatever they are, they are their only instruments in the hands of God. Did you hear that? Yeah, they are their only instruments. So sometimes God uses them. And the reason why he uses them varies, all right? But one of it is that people's faith often are provoked by sight. Do you get my point? The fact that you can see somebody who's rubbing his hand on your body and sticking something sharp into your butt, sometimes it helps you to provoke faith for healing. But to just lie down there and God, you know, sometimes it would be more difficult. So God said, okay, fine, touch the fellow. There's a story I've told many times. A young boy who had a brain tumor. And they came to see the famous neurosurgeon, Ben Carson. And Ben Carson agreed with the doctor who referred them that this is a hopeless case. And the couple said, God said we should come and meet you. And you will take care of this boy and he will be well. And guess what? He took care of the boy. To his own shock, to his own utter shock, the boy was well. When he managed to do surgery on the boy that everybody said was not doable, God made it possible for him to do it through an interesting method. I don't want to talk about that now. Or I did a small test and discovered something nobody else had seen, which made it possible for him to go and do surgery. At the end of the day, it was reported to be what we call a malignant tumor, a form of cancer in the brain, which would require further therapy. But you know what happened? The same people said, so they said, okay, so we are going to start drug treatment, cancer drug treatment. They said it will not be necessary. Do you understand? Their faith was so provoked, they said it will not be necessary. That is, that you have done what God wanted you to do. And he said at that point in time, he couldn't argue with them anymore because for them to have gotten that far, he was not in agreement with them at any point in time. They kind of pressured him because their faith that was working. So by the time the result, some results, he said, let's go. They said, no, you're not going that way. He quickly backed down and he released the boy to go. And by the time he was authoring the book for us to read, he had seen the boy for years. He said, as far as he knew, the boy was still fine. He took no credit for healing the boy. He knew it was just an instrument in the hands of God. But where I'm going is that Israel, God said, I am the Lord that healed thee. I am the Lord, your doctor. Now, when God reveals himself to you, it is because he's going to manifest himself along that line. When he told these people, the Lord, he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he revealed himself to them, he said, I am El Shaddai. They knew what that meant. It means that all your provisions, your protection, everything I am going to supply, I'm going to give you all the nourishment that your life needs. So they always looked to him for that. Now, when he revealed himself this time around as a covenant-keeping God, he was saying to Israel that, you see, the covenant I made with your Abraham, he didn't have to reveal himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob like that, really, because they were not the ones that were going to hold on to the covenant that he must keep. It wasn't necessary for them. They were going to pass on without receiving that which was promised. But these people were supposed to come into that covenant. So God revealed himself to them. I am the God that keeps covenants. That's what we call Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever. But they write it as, what they call the tetragrammaton, whatever, you know, the way the theologians call it. But that's what you call Yahweh, Jehovah. Okay, that is a covenant-keeping God. He understood. He was telling them that, now look at you, I'm the God that fulfills his promises. So when he reveals himself to you as a God that fulfills his promises, what that means is that, now, back to what our man told us, that all his provisions are in his promises. Why did I tell my father? Well, just the idea just came to me, and I believe the Lord wants you to learn that. You must learn to call God's name. You must learn to call his name, because any time you understand a name of God, whatever power emanates from him in that area, you must experience. Not because you want to, but once you see that name. Now, look at this context here in the book of Exodus chapter 34. God, if you read the previous 33, read earlier, you will find out that God has shown them how angry he was with them. They were rebellious. A stubborn people. They had tried him again and again. He was just tired. He said, I'm not going to go with you. Moses said, why? If you are not going to go with us, don't lead us away from here. Moses now said, I need to see your glory. God said, okay, I will pronounce my name before you. He now came. Now, please, I just want to say this as a kind of illustration. God doesn't make mistakes. Amen? Okay, but just get my point. Like we say, God now began to pronounce his name. I made the mistake of telling Moses, I am not, this is very important. He said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, what's the next line? And forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses said, I catch you. Moses said, I got you there. You just told us that we are stubborn. We like to commit. Then you say your name is who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses said, you will go with us, you will forgive us, you will take us as your people. Now, why did God do that? You see, faith is important. God used that knowledge of himself. Expressing it to Moses provoked faith in Moses to be able to ask God for something. Listen, if you can understand God and he provokes faith in your heart, let me say this to you. It's very funny what I'm about to say, but try and get me. Even he cannot refuse. If God reveals himself and you see him clearly, I'm the Lord that healed thee. He can't use sickness to kill you. He has to go and find something else. He has to say, okay, I'm the Lord that takes away thy spirit. He has to remove it. But I healed thee. That one is clear to you. Pardon me to use the expression. You got him there. So, you know how I know? He had to tell Isaiah, go and deaden the ears of these people. Make their hearts dull. Otherwise, if they understand, I'll be forced to forgive them. He says, so for me to be able to punish them the way they deserve, you have to go and deaden their ears. Make their hearts dull. Say to them, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. So if you say that, their hearts will become dull. They will persist in their iniquity and I will have to punish them. So that's exactly what I want. God knows himself so much that Isaiah, if you start shouting, hey, terror is coming, and somebody understands, I'll be forced to forgive. Do you get my point? See, When God said, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. Let me tell you how God hardened it. Well, it may not be the only way, but one of the things that God did to Pharaoh to harden his heart was to allow the Egyptians, the magicians and the scientists in Egypt lie to him as to the cause of the calamity. Do you get my point? Moses will say, I will do this. Moses will do exactly what he said he would do. At the end of the day, Pharaoh will call Moses, and Moses will undo what he did, one of the plagues. And then Pharaoh will say, no, you can't go again. Why? Because somebody came and lied to him that it is not God. That Moses is a magician. Well, after the first three plagues, they were able to, all those things that he did, they were able to do it. So the ones they could not do, they told him, we have not yet cracked the code. Wait. Do you follow? That's how the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. That's how his heart was hardened. When he couldn't perceive, as long as they made him misunderstand what was going on. Now, to you, it's so ridiculous. Why can't you see? God said he will not see. He sent a rumor, a lying spirit. He sent a fake Ahithophel to him. And they told him things. And he believed them. And therefore, he did not respond to what the spirit was saying. So when God wants to bless you, you know what he does? He reveals himself. He reveals himself. Once you can understand anything about God, you can see clearly, his power must manifest in that area. Do you get? Now, you know what that means in practical terms. Instead of hustling yourself, worrying yourself about tomorrow, just go and pray until you see like a vision in your heart. And you see God holding tomorrow in his hands. Do you get? The moment you see that, nobody can scare you again. The moment you understand that his El Shaddai in charge of my tomorrow, believe me, you have it made. People will not know why you are not scared. People will not know why you are not, packing money into an account so that you can have security. The reason why you pack money into an account, invest in what they call real estate, someone say real estate is the only estate that is real. You know that there's nothing real in the estate. Do you get my point? There is nothing real in it. Now, I saw one man, when I said, I could have told you this, but I didn't tell you before. He said somebody told him, it teaches online. He did a short clip. He said somebody told him, introduced him to farming. And they showed him how he could make money. He went and leased land, large stretches of land. And he calculated his profit to the last kobo. He knew exactly how much he would make. He planted corn. He planted cassava. And everything was going according to plan. Except that the day of harvest, he got there, the farm had been harvested. Did you hear what I said? His farm had been harvested. So as he was pacing up and down, one man came out of the bush to finish the thing he had left behind. So they accosted the man. What's going on? The man threatened to kill him there. They literally had come. No, it's not herdsmen. They not cattle. They came, normal harvest, harvested all this crop. When he said it there, I laughed. I said, you're just discovering that life has traps. You're just discovering that life has traps. The person threatened him. He said, I will kill you and bury you here. He doesn't have to say nothing will happen if I do it. Because even if something happens, you're already dead. He didn't tell us the rest of the story. It was a very short clip. But I felt like laughing. Say, he was trying to bring another lesson from it. Okay? It's another lesson. I don't talk about that. But when he said it, that was like a shock to him. I said, shock to you? I've seen worse things. Well, not necessarily worse. But things like that manifest in different areas. You could get to that farm. Suddenly, all the crops disappeared and nobody stole it. It suddenly didn't match up for a reason you don't understand. There is nothing on this earth. No, please, I know some of you as a pastor, you've said this thing, I've heard you. You've not heard me. Nobody can guarantee anything. See, I've told you, this is one business you can. One brother told me one day. He was saying how you ran into trouble. He gave some people money. They said that he'll be giving this amount every month. At the end, he will collect his money back. Those ones scammed him. He did not know it was a scam. You know why? Because at the end of the day, when he went to retrieve his money back, they said, have you not been collecting money all the while? He said, no, that was not the deal. The deal was, this was supposed to be profit. Then the whole capital is still waiting. He said, no, that has been spread out. I said, they just scammed you. You don't know. But I felt like then, I said, bro, wait. Somebody told you that you sit in your house. He'll be bringing money for you every month. And you want to plan your life on it. Don't bother. It doesn't work. It doesn't. Every time they always market, you know, some people, they are there over here. On that side. You see them all the time on the phone telling people what they will train you, they will teach you this. And I see those who come there. I say, hi, when will you people get tired? After a while, just mark my words, after a while, you won't see them again. Everybody will have gotten tired. It doesn't work. The man said, he was so shocked. All his crop gone. I said, that's news to you? Those who are doing the business regularly, why do you think not everybody is doing it? Don't worry, there are those who do that business. Nobody can come near their crop. They are the ones that will baby. They just seem to have grace. You try and follow them, and they don't even know why you can't do it. Some of them will try to explain to you, but some of them also, they've passed through things before. They've had methods, but they've learned methods over time by which they, minimize their risk. But where I'm going with all of that is that, nothing is guaranteed in this life. Nothing. Nothing. I keep saying, Christians, just go and learn what is right to do and start doing it regularly. Then hope in what? God's blessings. The only thing you can do is to constantly hope in God's blessing. Please stop jumping up and down looking for where it is happening now. It doesn't work. Like I said, when God wants to bless you, what he does, let me not get away from what I'm trying to explain. What he does is to reveal himself. So he announced to Israel, I am the Lord that healed thee. You know what that meant? And I want every Christian to listen to me concerning that. What God expected of covenant people is that every time they are sick, they have an illness, they will go to the Lord first. They will kneel down and pray. Some people say, we don't go to hospital. That's not the issue. Some people don't go to hospital. They don't even know the God that healed. They have not seen him. Do you get my point? It is not clear to them. The fact that you are not taking medicine doesn't mean you are taking the correct one. There are a lot of people that don't take it. There are people who take herbs. They say that, no, I don't believe in taking medicine, but they are taking herbs. Just because it is green, it is still medicine. See, whether it's green and in solution or white and in tablet, medicine is what? Is medicine. You are taking it. If you say you want to believe God, please don't insult my intelligence by avoiding medical drugs, then buying supplements and buying, herbs. Say you are going natural. You are not going natural. You are going foolish. Because the things that you claim to be, it's still medicine. Please, I don't want to sit on that one. It is still medicine. It's just that this one is made by crude people. Crude. You know they're crude. People that are not taught pharmacognosy. Those who did not go to university to know how to extract. It is made by uneducated people that just know how to boil. They can't separate what is dangerous from that which is helpful. And they package it for you. And because you don't know anything, you swallow it. Or you drink it. Yeah, they don't have anything for you to swallow. So it's not your faith that is working. It is foolishness that is working. That's why a lot of people say they are believing God. They don't get healed. They don't get results. Because they think refuser of conventional medicine is believing God. It is not. Refuser of orthodox medicine is not the same thing as believing God. Now listen to this. There are those who have believed God and taken that medicine. And they've gotten well. And God used it as an instrument. Do you follow? It's very important we clarify this. Because sometimes Christians think that just by copying somebody who said, I didn't go to any doctor. I've done, not even once, not twice. My mother used to say, well, that was even before faith. Even after faith, people look at the way I do something and they say, I'm surprised that you're a doctor. I say, yes, don't worry. Yeah, they're surprised. The time I was ill, this is in Lagos. One of my colleagues, junior colleague though, he didn't see my work for some time. And asked something later, I said, chief, how are you? I said, I'm fine. I said, what did you take? Which medicine? I said, no, I didn't take any medicine that. It's very funny. I look back now. I said it was a spiritual thing, that it was weakness of the soul. So I needed to beef up. I just said it in passing like that, so that I just took time out. And really what I did was I took time out to, of course, rest, to meditate, to pray. I listened to messages a lot. I got the word of God taught to me, and I read books. I took a few days off like that, and I was fine. Didn't take one white tablet, not one. When I told the fellow, no, he looked at me. I was a senior. All right, even though we're all very young, but at least I was senior to him. He did not know what to say to me. He looked, he shook his head and walked away. Now, so what I was saying there, so I understand that, okay? I've had that experience. But you see, it doesn't mean that you're believing God just because you did not take medicine. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It doesn't. Just like I said just now, there was a couple, they brought their son to Ben Carson. He operated, and the child was well. Okay, Hagin will tell you in his days, there was a day he was lying down, then suddenly he had an urge to call his wife. He had traveled, he was some distance away. So, he looked at the time. If you remember those days, in Nigeria, there was like that. Long distance calls were cheaper. The days of Nitel, do you remember? At certain times of the day. Before I got married, I used to call my wife. Because she was staying with her parents in Benin. I was in Lagos. To call her, I used to wait for night. For two reasons. One major reason was that the call was half cost. Nitel bill that time. Everything was half cost after a certain time. So he was like that in America. To say it was a long distance one within the U.S. So he thought to himself that let me wait till the calls go down in cost. Then I'll call. So he laid down. He was reading. Then suddenly the voice came to him. Call your wife now. Tell her to go and see the doctor. Her life is in danger. Now, it's not the experience that the primary thing. It's who is saying it. Those of you who have not read Enough Faith and Healing, maybe you don't know Kenneth Hagin. It's somebody who used faith to get off a deathbed at the age of 17, thereabout. Born with a bad heart, the heart got corrected. Yet, the Holy Spirit, I believe, of course, was the Holy Spirit, told him, call your wife now. Tell her to go to the hospital now. She's about to die. So he paid the high cost, called home. Are you following me? And then told his wife, go to the hospital now. The wife got up, went to the hospital, and the doctor was shocked she was still alive. Checked some electrolyte levels in her body, and it had gone beyond, I think, below the critical level. He had to quickly admit her and start emergency treatment. And she was fine. And she was taking some drugs. Now listen to this. To keep fine. Then one day they were ministering. Then suddenly, I don't know where somebody was preaching, and she heard, I am the Lord that healed thee. She packed all her medicine, threw it into the dustbin. Didn't tell her husband anything. And the husband later on noticed that, you've not been taking your medicine. He said, no need. And she was very fine. Why? During a meeting, the word of the Lord came strongly to her. I am the Lord that healed thee. It became so clear, and she went and threw it in the medicine. Said to the husband, he found out later. Said, I would have been needing it. There are those who have gone to throw away their medicine, and we had to resuscitate them because they were going to die. Why? Because copying somebody is not faith. Copying somebody is not faith. Copying somebody else's actions is not faith. After all, there's one bro in the Bible. He copied the Lord's actions. Now, when he did drown, he shouts, Oga, I beg help. You know that guy? You've met him before. Okay, you've read about him. So, Oga, if you can do it, I can do it. He said, if it is you, ask me to come. Just, will I say it is not me? So he said, okay, come. He didn't have the strength to forgo, that is, ignore his circumstances. He didn't have the strength to ignore the things around, which was necessary to walk on water. It was necessary.
If you are the type that every time dollar swings against the Nile like this, your heart will start beating faster. Please, emigrate. If you are the type that reads the news, that some people were kidnapped in the bush, and the family had to pay 10 million naira, and then suddenly say, nobody's safe in this country anymore. Please, go to the country where you'll be safe. Because this is your unbelief, one day will be confirmed. But if you are the type that will hear the news and say, the Lord is with me amongst those who help me. He surrounds me as a mountain surrounds Jerusalem. So does the Lord surround his people. It is written, no evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. And you continue your business. Then you can stay. Now, can I quickly add this? Don't use unbelief as an excuse. Say, Pastor Bang, you say, I don't have it, let me go. You can also use unbelief to miss your destiny. So go and build your faith. That's what we are saying. If unbelief shifts you away from the place of destiny, you don't have any excuse. God will not say because it was unbelief that drove you away from the place of destiny. He will not demand of you what you did with the talent he gave to you, with the mina he gave you. No, no. He will still demand. It's your responsibility to build up your faith. That's why as a believer, you must be a disciple. You must get up every morning, reading your scriptures, getting, seeking. You know, when God, see, please, there was one of these messages we preached for. These are our short 10-minute things. I said something inside it. All right, we're preparing. That's what I heard it. All right, yesterday. And it struck me again. I was on preaching, you know, and I heard it. I didn't even know I preached it, you know. Reverend, doesn't happen to you. You preach something, and then you will hear it. I said one day, Pastor Kimundo was preaching on radio. He said something. My God, I took paper and quickly wrote it down that this is revelation. When I saw this, I said, that was revelation. I was preaching. Yeah, I was preaching. I now quoted him what I was preaching. That I don't know how many of you heard it on Sunday. Pastor Kimundo said this. I was talking. He was looking at me. I didn't know why he was looking at me. At the end of the meeting, he came. He said, sir, I was quoting you. I said, what? He said, yes, you were the one that said. I said that? He said, yes, I was quoting you. Oh. I thought I had never heard it before. I thought I had never heard it before. And something like that happened to me. I said something in that recording. I said, do you realize, Paul, okay, who wrote half of your New Testament, who wanted us to be blessed, anytime, with all the power he has with God, anytime he wants to pray for a church that he's fathering, can I use the expression? He gave birth to them in the Lord. He's building them up in faith. And he will pray for them that God will give them understanding and revelation. He didn't used to pray for for money. He didn't pray for health. He did not pray for any other thing. He said, may God. He said, I pray for you that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, or the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Wait. Paul, with all the revelation he had, do you know why? Listen, I realized the reason. Because if the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, and you know in reality, El Shaddai, you don't need prayer by anything. Do you get it? It's settled. You get to know El Shaddai. You get to know El Shaddai. You know, you don't need, that you pray for you that God will give you money. No. I pray for those of you who are sick, be healed now. Paul said, what are you doing? Sick? If you are sick, that means that you have not yet seen. There is something about God you have not seen. That's what Paul was saying. So when he wants to pray for you, he prays that you have what? Understanding. That you have revelation. There's a way you see God. See, one of the things I keep praying for. In fact, I was reading Catherine Kuhlman's books. I mentioned to you earlier. I read it once in a while. I just pick them up again. And why am I reading it? I'll tell you. There are many reasons. One of them, all right, is that I studied chemistry, biology, and physics. Then at the point that I studied anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. Then they took my anatomy and physiology to another level and showed me how things go wrong in the body. We call it pathology. And I studied clinical medicine, how to know what is wrong, what is right, and everything. So, and now when I did postgraduate, all right, and decided to study pathology. So if somebody's complaining to me, that's how I'm trained. That's my specialty. I'm looking at everything that's wrong with you. I can see your liver. In my mind, I'm slicing it. I'm looking at it under a microscope. Do you follow? If you tell me somebody's heart suddenly stopped and he died, I can calculate for you what went wrong. I can sketch it for you. That's the job I do. I teach students. If this happened, this is what happened. Basically, I become so physical in interpreting sicknesses. It's not my fault. It's the way I'm trained. Do you get it? So I can tell you how viruses spread from one place to the other and what it will do when it gets there. Now, what is being built inside me is called unbelief. It's called unbelief. If a dangerous serpent bites somebody, I can tell you the kind of things inside the venom. What it does to the muscles, the nerves, and the blood cells. Depending on the kind of venom. There's a kind of venom that will just block all the nerves from supplying the muscles. So you are awake, but you can't move. Then you suffocate because the diaphragm is not working. The diaphragm needs signals fired down a particular nerve from the brain. Every few seconds, you throw one signal down and you breathe in. And then you withdraw your signal, then the lungs will collapse and push out. There's some dangerous serpents. They have venom that will go plug those communication points. So the brain sends a signal because it's desperate for air. The muscles can't receive it. Can you see? I've taught you now. Some other ones, they have what they will do to just destroy all the red cells. Wow, just be dying. They'll be popping like balloon. And then, can you see? I've been telling you, we have to read these things. And now the treatment works. I know. All of this generates what? Unbelief. It generates unbelief. So that if somebody comes and he says he's been bitten by a serpent, it is the closest pharmacy that has a polyvalent anti-snake venom that I'm looking for. Because I need something that will block this, block that, block that. But you see, Moses is not good to medical school. Moses, he didn't go to medical school. Bible didn't tell us he did. When people were beaten by serpents and they were dying, they gave Moses made a stick, took a staff, wrapped a bronze serpent on it, and said, look at it. If you can focus on it, you'll be well. That is called faith. That is called what?
Faith.
The more of that you understand, that is the more of the natural side I told you understand, the more difficult it is for you to obey what Moses is saying. So you look at Moses and say, excuse me, sir, if God were to open the windows of heaven, can this thing be? That's what is called unbelief. That is what is called unbelief. I was talking about the book, Kevin Kumar's book. One of the reasons why I read them is they destroy unbelief by magnifying faith. I've told you before, the two of them can be in the same heart. Do you know that? One of the duties of a believer is what? Separate the light from the darkness. A lot of people don't have my level of unbelief because they are ignorant, not because they have faith. However, by not having that level of unbelief, the little faith they have tends to work better because faith is fighting unbelief. You're getting the logic. See, these things are real. So why do I read somebody like Catherine Kuhlman's testimonies? She doesn't teach. Go and read the books. They just compile the testimonies. There was one, I still taught students this not too long ago. One disease called, polyarteritis nodosa. Now, that's the name. Don't worry about it. There's no other name it's called, all right? Now, just say P, all right, if you want to ask a student or a doctor. It's a deadly disease. One woman dabbled into the occult. She tried to escape from them at the particular point. It's one of her books. I think Miracles, I believe in Miracles. One of them. And then this woman one day ran into a church. Listen to this. Ran into a church with her baby girl. God does not dwell in temple made with hands. So there was no protection for her there. Inside that church, two people appeared. They seemed to float towards her. Their presence scared her. They walked past and one of them touched the girl. Just a finger touch. Next day, the child developed polyarteritis nodosa, a deadly disease. An occultic power walked by, touched the girl, and made the girl sick. The doctors diagnosed the, I just told the name of the disease inside her book. And it was one place to the other. The girl was swelling from the drugs she was taking. The girl was so sick, she was going to die. If you ask that woman, what happened? Now, if you ask a doctor what happened, I can tell you stories. Number one, there's a summary of it. Those that we used to tell us that, we used to teach that, we don't know. But this is a doctor who never say we don't know. We have to, how can we not know? We always have, how can we not know? We know. Let's just put it like that. A lot of the knowledge can be lies, but we know. Anything we can't tell, we say the genes. We dive into the genes. And the gene is so complicated that everybody who's studying is confused. See, how will you not be confused? One day I decided to update myself in one particular area before I go and teach students. The more I read, the more I got confused. So, you know what I did? I just left the details and stuck with the superficial ones that I understood, which they did not know. So, you know, I always tell students that there's no intelligence you want to have that you can outsmart me in class. I tell my students. Yeah, I tell them. I say, you see, you don't understand. When I've gotten drunk and fallen asleep and I'm groggy in the morning, the little I remember is 10 times what you know. So, you see, there is something that experience just teaches you. I said, relax, don't come to my class to come and show muscle. The other day, the student asked me a question. And God has given me one thing. I'm brutally honest. I think if they ask him, sir, are you trying to say that this disease is so? I looked at the boy. I said, what? I looked at his classmates. I said, this guy is mentioning diseases I have never heard of. I told them. They were surprised. Okay, you don't? I said, I never heard of it. The foolish boy just manufactured it. Thank God I'm an honest person. Do you get the point? I told the boy, if I catch you next time. This boy had, he wasn't trying to deceive me, but he took something. Okay, I won't tell you, but let's say a disease of the hand. And I'm teaching about disease in the leg. So now something I now said, he said, okay, can we compare? He now use that disease of the hand and say, and I said, this particular disease of the leg. And I've never heard of it in the leg before. So I like, what is he saying? I said, oh boy, this thing you have said, I've never heard before. So as I was trying to explain and trying to understand what he was saying, that's when I discovered that he said, no, he's not saying it exists. It's just that he was trying to extrapolate. I said, I felt like going there and punch. This boy was, I said, thank God I know what I know. The boy some people will not, they just say, you say, actually, you'll be saying things that don't exist. And he said, we're laughing at you at the end. If you ask me a question in class and I don't know, I said, I don't have answers there. Please remind me next class. I need to do some checkups. I just said, look, make sure you remind me. Next class I come, ask that question again. If you want to pretend like you know everything, you are a liar. Now, so I go read genes. That's what I'm telling you. I read and read. Sometimes I thought there were only 12 types. I got there, they were like 12 times 12. For each type I knew, there were 12 subtypes. Of which each of those subtypes probably have like 6 subtypes or some of them. And so the further you go down, the more. Now quickly close the book. I say, I am not here to. Where I'm going is that one want to tell you what caused something, we'll go deep into those hidden areas of subtypes and subtypes and subtypes. But then we'll come out, we are confused. We'll give long lecture. So you will think we know what we are saying. Because you have no idea. What you will not know that the guy giving you that long lecture is as confused as he's dabbling around. You know, just touching this and touching that. That's why we change our mind. No, fact. Medical science. Every few years, we change our minds. And we do that all the time. Before, we told you that if you eat cholesterol, you will die. Now, we find that if you don't eat cholesterol, you will die. So, yeah. No, go to the market. You won't see any food saying low cholesterol. You don't see it again. Just go and check. It has disappeared. Before, low cholesterol, low cholesterol. They have a, it's a lie, it's a lie. After using everybody as guinea pigs for more than 20 years. I know what I was saying. Back to that, another story I was telling you a story. What caused it? If you ask that, what's wrong with that girl? I know what we teach. I know. We'll tell you the subtype of, let me give you big English. HLA-D that she has. We'll tell it to you. HLA comes in ABCD. You go to D, they tell you D, Q, Q, this one, and then they get to D, Q, Q, D, Q has W after, some don't have that. See, bro. And each of these probably have 100 different types in the population. I don't blame them. They need to study all this to be able to transplant organs. We'll tell you some of them make you react to some things. All kinds of English. We'll discover that her great-grandfather had a gene that has been suppressed in 2 generations. That suddenly flared up in her when she went into the sun. And that sun, that they happened to deal with. See, by the time we finish here, but you know what this woman will tell you if you ask that woman? She will say, I was in a church. A strange being walked past and touched my daughter. The day she got well, she carried the girl to a Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. I know Catherine Kuhlman used to pray for people a bit, but most of the healings that happened in her meeting, she didn't have to touch you. They're just preaching. She doesn't stop. Somebody's sitting over there. You just heard a pop. Your deaf ears are now open. In fact, her meetings were interesting. A lot of people got healed without going there. There was one woman, I read, they were driving her to the meeting, her friends. On the way, suddenly her pains disappeared. She didn't know what was going on. Half of her problems gone by the time they got to the meeting. She attended the meeting. The other half, or a huge chunk, the woman mentioned, somebody's being healed of so and so and so. She was the one. She didn't tell her friends that, no. So the other ones, you guys know, that one left in the car on our way here. There was one that was very interesting. You know what happened to the man? They brought him in. He was very sick. I think it was in a wheelchair or so. So we'll try and get you into the disabled section. So they say, so they arranged with one usher to go and move him in. Something happened. Either the usher went to another section or forgot the man. So throughout the meeting, he was abandoned outside. You don't get it. They struggled to bring a man down for a healing crusade, meeting. They went in because he was a special person, needed to have a wheelchair moved, and they forgot him where he was supposed to be. The person was supposed to move. They kept him for somebody to move him to a special section. That person didn't show up. So he stayed outside and missed the whole meeting. When the meeting ended, his friends were so embarrassed. Ha, ha, ha. He said, they shouldn't worry. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. They shouldn't worry. It's okay. They apologize. They will come again. Another meeting is happening maybe next month. Please, don't be angry. He said, it's okay. They moved into his house. I don't know whether it was in a wheelchair, but he had a serious disability. So he moved to his house. Thank you very much. He waved them bye-bye. They came next to see him next day. His compound was clean. He had been shoveling everything and clearing house. Somebody who could not move before. They say, what happened? He said, I wasn't sure, so I didn't say anything yesterday. When they were going home, he was pretending. He was totally well. But we forgot you outside. Me say, I don't know. They forgot me outside. Where they forgot him, do you know? Catherine Kuhlman didn't talk about him. Nobody talked about him. They forgot him there, except that at the point in time, he suddenly felt hot. He felt the power of God wrap him around. Next thing he knew, all his problems were gone. But he was so shocked by it that he didn't say anything. He woke up next day and started cleaning the house, shoveling the, you know. I'm telling you all this story. Why I like to read things like that is to let me know that all those ones that I read from secondary school, biology, physics, and chemistry, that I learned in university, first year medical science to final year, that I did in postgrad and I've seen and I've practiced and I've experienced the way the drugs work and all of that. That's level two. There's one level that is fundamental. Let me call it level one. That's higher than that. That is the one in which is a demon can touch somebody and the person becomes sick. And Jesus can walk past you and the person gets well. That they put you beside the road and Peter is minding his business. But his son happens to be on this side. And a shadow crosses you and you get up and start running away. There's no explanation. But that is the same force that created the universe. Why do I research testimonies? To let me know that what I know by science. Please, this is one of my most fantastic illustrations. Okay? I've had slow computers and fast computers. One day we're here. All right. The current computer I use is not like Solomon's own. Solomon's own is not a computer. That one is AI server. Maybe that one is there. Let's just talk about normal human computers. Let's not even talk about their own. Some people use computers that you wonder whether it was made for human consumption or that is the one that OpenAI uses to run their... Do you get my point? We don't know. But normal computers. My current computer is quite a very good one. You know, the Core i7s. I have 40 gig of RAM in a standard computer. One day, I said the computer should do something. I think it was copying something. So Israel, Junior Israel said that, some people don't know Junior Israel is the same person as Judah. Okay, just for you to know. Sometimes I call him Judah, sometimes I call him Junior Israel. So he said something should copy. So I told him he has not copied. He said, oh, guy, it has copied. I said, no, he hasn't copied. He said, copy it again. They copied it again. This thing has copied. He said, I told somebody that pastor's computer doesn't give explanation. You know, some people just, you've seen that this thing. This one didn't do like that. It told the thing to, and a very large file. And boom, we didn't see anything. Actually, the thing popped up. But it was so brief, it popped out again, or popped down. I cannot use the expression. Popped up and disappeared. Now listen, let's go to a slower computer, Core i3, an old machine, ordinary 4 gig RAM. It says the same thing to copy. What will it do? It will first bring up a window, bring up one small square, add the second one to it, third one. So you see it going, it will not tell you 15 seconds remaining. Then sometimes it will pause so that the machine can do another background what they call it, process. Then it will continue. And then finally, it will finish. Unlike when we got our current internet device we use here. Before we want to download something, download 20 megabytes. It will be rolling. But this one, it downloaded faster than we could click. Sometimes you wonder, what happened? It did download. Boom. We found we could download 1 gig. 1 gig in 40 seconds. And stuff like that. On a good day. Why am I saying all of these things? See, what God does and what the doctor does, if we're to, they are the same thing. A lot of times. Not exactly, but a lot of times. What the drug does and what God does, a lot of times they are the same thing. But for the drug to do it, you will take 2 tablets in the morning, 2 at night, for 3 weeks. Then it will stabilize a part of your system and wait, that's maybe germs, and wait for the immune system to clear them. So the immune system will now have time to work and rearrange. And there's what we call healing. Healing is a process. So your body is wired to heal. So this whole thing will take 3 weeks for you to get well. And sometimes the technology does not exist. So you die after 6 months. But Peter walks past. And that aura, that spirit, carried by, funny enough, a shadow. That healing that took 3 weeks, the same process, but the processor is so fast. Do you follow my point? The dish that downloaded the internet from heaven, healing now, is so good that human timing, it takes about 0.5 seconds. It's the same process. 0.5 seconds. This thing, if you could slow it down, use a slower processor, it will also take 3 weeks. But the good Lord, because he has the power, he has the ability, what does he do? Boom! What will have taken 3 weeks, boom, is completed in half a second. So you start wondering, was I sick? Did I get well? God said, yes, it's healing. It's normal healing. It just is fast. Then that one in which the person didn't get well died. You know what God says? He says, if I give them enough knowledge, in 50 years, they will find this cure. It will work if they apply it over 6 months, and the person will be cured. So when I touch the individual, the same process. I take 50 years of development and 6 months of application. I complete it in, let's just make it slow, 5 seconds. You know where I'm going? Let me explain. That everything you learned in secondary school, medical school, postgraduate training, they are correct to a large extent. But they are slow and incomplete. So it is not against medical knowledge for God to heal. He's just a quick one. After all, when I was a medical student, those early days, to treat tuberculosis was 18 months therapy. You took drugs every day for 18 months. By the time I was a resident doctor, they had added one or two more drugs. You still took it every day, and now it's 6 months. In 6 months, you're fine. You're cured. 18 months at the time, down to 6 months. I think it's still about that currently. It's not the same process. But one drug is what? Faster than the other. Now, there's another drug called the power of resurrection. If he decides to do it in one day, sorry, is that fast? No, answer. Do you think it's fast? It's not. It's not fast. It's rather slow. But God said, let's do it in one day before these people wonder what happened. Where I'm going is that, see, it is now possible for me. I can read all the medicine I have read, all the pathology I have studied, all the science I have inquired into myself, but it doesn't take anything away from my faith now. It can't. Yes, there's an unbelief back there, but it cannot take away from my faith. There's nothing the Bible records for me that's unreasonable. No, there's nothing unreasonable. You say, okay, a part of the body is missing, like the eyes. And Jesus covers it with spittle. And say, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. It's very reasonable. It's very, very, very reasonable. There's nothing in the eyes that's not in the clay. Where did God make the human being from? From that same ground. Jesus took from the material that was used for creation of the whole human being, took a small portion and recreated the eyes. What is strange? I don't know whether you get my point. If he didn't do that, we should have questioned whether it's really who he is. He claims to be. So if he came home normally, Doc, how are you doing? It was a good day. What operation did you perform? We made 2 new eyes. Okay, yeah. Do you want your food now? We won't shout back. Oh, no. It's Jesus now. How about he made a whole human being from the same clay? Do you follow my point? From the same. He made the whole being, including the brain, the intestines, the bone marrow, the same eyes, and the ears. So now if he decides to make only 2 eyes, has it worked? No, think about the brethren. Has it really worked? This is how he rolls. Like we say, this is how we roll. This is how we roll. This is how we roll. See, I'm not against what the doctor does. I'm not against what the pharmaceutical drugs they do. I'm not. That's just a slow way. They're not in opposition. They're not in opposition. That's a slow way. But there's a quick way with God. So we have seen him as one, he's a creator and he's a healer. It is not unreasonable for him to work miracles. Miracle working is so logical. It's so logical. It's so logical. There are animals till now. You cut a portion of them, they regrow. Do you get my point? And they are complete. So if God decides to regrow a part of an A full-grown human being. Please, I'm not taking it away from the glory of God. He hasn't done anything special by his own standard. But if you thought that life began spontaneously from nothing, then I say it's not possible. How can it not be possible? How can it not be possible? Do you know why I read those books? They remind me of these things I'm telling you. I told you I read some of those books. Yeah, they remind me. I told the story of the woman that said, the title of the book, and look for it, it's called 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. She had a bad heart. And listen, no matter how bad that heart is, it's not yet dead. Even if it were dead, it's not yet rotten. You know why I'm talking about it like this? Because Lazarus had a bad heart that was rotten. After 4 days, he said, Lazarus, comfort, the heart undecayed. You know what I mean to undecay? You are decayed, it undecayed, began to beat. And all the blood rearranged, and Lazarus came back. And you know what? I believe it 100%. So that's all who he is. This woman, she had a bad heart. She had to walk slowly. That's what happens when your heart is bad. If you're not bedridden, you can only walk slowly. Then she went to church, and the visiting minister came and prayed. And she felt a warmth around her. She didn't know what the warmth meant. Prayed for healing. You know, prophesied the power of God into their lives. And she didn't know she got well. Next day, she went to the mall. Normally to go and, you know, she walked slowly to buy something. So she walked slowly. But today she was in a hurry. She was in a hurry. Instead of waiting for the escalator to take her up. Because of her hurry, she used the steps. And ran up the steps. And did all her shopping. She had finished before realized that, wait, I just ran up the steps. And she remembered that warmth that surrounded her in church the day before, or 2 days before. I think it was the day before. Oh, the healing power of God. Her heart was now healthy. And then, now please listen to this, very important. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. So what happened next day? The day of her appointment. She was okay. A few days later, or the following day, I'm not sure which day, she went to see her doctor. Because she's a white person, all right? In fact, even for black people, you will know. The moment you see somebody, you can tell. In fact, even in, it's easier in white people, all right? Because their skin, you can see through a lot of it. But even in dark people, you can, as if you are trained, you take a glance, you can almost tell what's wrong with this person. So as soon as she entered, the doctor saw her and knew something was out of order. I mean, like, this is not the normal sick woman. Her skin had more redness in it. Normally when the heart is failing, it shuts down flow to the skin to reduce the amount of work it does. Her face had blood flowing through it. Ah, the doctor looked at her and said, look at you. What happened to you? The doctor examined her. Ah, the heart was normal. But you know, let me tell you how normal heart sounds. Top doom, top doom, top doom. Doctor put his stethoscope. Was he any? They call it lob doom. Lob doom. Ah. Normal rhythm. Remember the pink face, the healthy look. And she said, he said, what happened to you? Now listen to why I quoted that scripture I quoted for you. The woman thought, if I tell him we're in church and we prayed, and one man came and prayed for me, he will think I've gone mental now. He will say these religious fanatics. He say, hey, what is wrong with this woman? And so she said to him, nothing. By the time the doctor was done with his examination, she was slow again. By the time she got to work, home, she couldn't move like she used to move. She was back to her slow way. She couldn't climb steps anymore. The color had drained from her face. The heart had failed again. It took her, so can you remember? Is this 7 or 10 years? 10 years in that state and traveled all the way from Australia to United States of America to attend the Catherine Kuhlman meeting before that heart was healed again. That's why she wrote a book titled 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. Yes, it really happened. I read the story of one man like that also. He went for a healing meeting.
They prayed for him. He couldn't walk. He got up from his wheelchair and began to walk. I think he had spinal cord injury or one degenerating thing in the spinal cord, but his nerves were bad. The man couldn't walk. They prayed for him. He got well. Then his pastor heard and came to visit him. He walked from where he was to open the door for the pastor. And the pastor walked in and sat down and explained to him that the age of miracles has passed. That God does not heal the sick like that again. That miracles like that do not happen anymore. And he explained that he should stop going for funny meetings like that. I can't remember whether it was Catherine Kumar or Kenneth Hagin. I think it was Kenneth Hagin that told the story. And explained and finished explaining. And the pastor said, I have to leave now. And he got up to leave, and the man could not get up. The man could, see, he was the one that walked to the door, to open the door to let the pastor in. By the time this satanic talker was done, he has so depleted his faith. The pastor got up to leave. This man could not get up to see him off. And he died in that. Yeah, he never recovered. What made it worse for him was he became angry and bitter. And he died paralyzed. Brethren, I believe in miracles. I believe in divine healing. I told us, our brother called me the other day. So I've told stories here and there. I can tell you personal stories. So when I was in school, one day, my dad came to see me. So he needed to see me quickly because he had to take my sister to hospital. When he told me what was the issue, he gave me money. He came to give me money, help me take some of my things. I did not take the money from him. How can he give a student money and he didn't take? Why did I not take it? I said to myself, he's in kind of trouble that he doesn't understand. I was a final year medical student. God gave me understanding. I know these things well. I don't just read my book to cram the past. No, I read to understand. When he finished talking, I knew what was going on. So he said, I gave him money. I told him I didn't need money. You know why I didn't take the money? I said to myself, you will need it. You just don't know. Then I went to pray. I called one of my friends. I said, please, let us pray. When my dad came to see me later, that day I was not packing, I had finished school. He came to see me, that he helped me take all my, now I was graduating. So I had to empty my room. So I filled his car. I told him that I would come later. I just left a bag that I could carry by myself. So he just reclined. He was tired, so he leaned back on the bed while I was arranging things. So I just said, oh, How did that thing go? He said, he just sat up, you know, suddenly. He said, no, I woke up next morning. He said, she was well, no. Then we don't know what happened. I didn't tell him anything. About 2 or 3 years before my mother-in-law passed on, she came to see us. And her kidneys had totally failed. She just came to greet us, since that. Doctor said she had to have a renal transplant. And she was going the next day for dialysis. A few days later, they had arranged. We sat together. We went to preach in her back leg that day. Normally, I will stay over. Someone will finish. Her back leg is not too far. We finished around past 7. I told guys, I have to go back home. My mother-in-law is with us. So my wife and I prayed. We kept praying for her. We had a lot of discussion and everything. So one day I just got up. She left. Then one. A few days later, I just got up, told my wife, let's go and see mommy. So what is that? No, I just said I should go and see her. So we drove. We drove down. She was happy to see us, of course. Then we stayed over. She was supposed to go for dialysis the next day. So we just talked with her again, prayed with her, just talked normally. They see who it was. We were staying upstairs. Her room was not too far away. My wife had gone down in the morning to go and help make breakfast. Then I heard her on the phone, and her voice was loud. I was calling the doctor, a friend of mine. Called him, Dr. So-and-so, I don't know what is going on. I feel like my normal self this morning. All the symptoms and everything she had told us had disappeared. She had told the issue on her feet and all of that, that when she woke up in the morning, her face would be puffy. The kidneys were not working again. She said, I feel like my normal self this morning. I was hearing it on the phone. I don't know what is going on. They quickly called the hospital, canceled the dialysis appointment. They went and quickly checked. Kidney function had shot up again. And indices for failure had dropped. She had booked up that after the dialysis she was supposed to travel. She said, tickets were booked, everything. She still traveled. And the doctor was wondering, they told me you were sick. What are you doing here? I've told you the story. I can keep giving you personal stories. I woke up one morning and I had broken out in chicken pox. I took Supernatural Living Tape 2, David Oyedepo. Listened to it. And I placed my hand on my head and cursed chicken pox. And then I woke up next morning. I'd forgotten. Now this is normal. Just rub your face when you wake up. There was a smoothness that hit my hand that suddenly I remembered. I took the mirror. I checked. Boom! My face was so smooth. All the things that had broken out, boom! They had gone. I can keep telling stories. A few years ago, when I was away from here for about almost a whole month, three straight weeks, I didn't preach for a month. I came a few times, sat in my office, 2 weeks. One of those days, my wife said, my husband, you're not sleeping. And really, I couldn't sleep. This one that Job said, at night you wish for day. At day you wish for night. I had that kind of experience. You lie down, you just feel like getting up. You get up, you feel like lying down. There was only one position that was a bit comfortable. There's a big couch we have in the, not the very big, just a single sitter, but a big couch. All right? In the room there. So I would go and sit on it. And as well, I would call. I get some comfort like that. So my wife said, around 3 a.m., say, my husband, you're not sleeping. I said, what do you mean I'm not sleeping? He said, you are not sleeping. That every time I open my eyes, you're either getting up or coming to lie down or you're trying to go somewhere or moving from. Then it dawned on me, truly, I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't sleep. So I laid down. I told her, don't worry. And she had a lot of work to do, apart from taking care of me. So I turned. I remember I just turned to the side. I said, dear Lord, you heard that. I need to sleep. At least to just give my wife peace of mind. You know, that kind of thing. So I prayed, I begged the Lord. I need to sleep. That's all I remember. It was 3 a.m. I remember that day. Then after that prayer, I opened my eyes. And it was 9. And it was 9. My wife had gone. The children had gone to school. Almost nobody was at home. Our housekeeper had come. She was downstairs. Then shortly after, my phone rang. It was my wife. So I picked the phone. She said, you were sleeping so soundly. I felt it would be wrong to wake you up. She got up, had a bath, dressed, moved up and down that room. This black guy did not shift. I was deeply asleep. No, number of miracles that happened that time. Once one moment, body is hot. Next one, it is cold. I'm feeling cold. Then I dress up. I remove the cloth. I was so uncomfortable. You know, some of you don't believe when I tell you. I actually went to medical school. I do. I did. I know some medicine. So I picked a tablet. I don't know whether it was paracetamol or ibuprofen. Usually they can handle fever, especially ibuprofen. I said, Lord, I'm not feeling well. Do I do this such so? Take down this fever or not. I pray like that. In my spirit, don't ask me how I know. My spirit said, drop the tablet. So I did. And I lay down. 30 minutes later, I was sweating. And the fever never came back. No, till I got up and recovered fully, that was the last moment. I just prayed and I dropped it, you know, I just tossed it on this thing and laid back down. 30 minutes later, I was pouring sweat while the fever broke and it didn't come back. It didn't come back. The other day I told him, one of our brother here, you know him, he's a neurosurgeon. He just called me, he said, sir, I just witnessed a miracle. I said, what happened? He said, there's a patient I booked for surgery. A young woman had gone blind in one eye because of a brain tumor. So I said, what happened? He said, I just got a call or something like whether they can cancel the surgery or postpone the surgery, something like that. I can't remember, and it's been a few weeks. I said, what happened? He said, the lady woke up one morning, headaches gone. The eye had died, you know, could see. It wasn't moving. It had oculomotor paralysis. It wasn't moving at all. Couldn't see through it. So a lot of damage. It was not just the optic nerve. The nerves that control the movement, they are different. Everything was not working. But then when she woke up in the morning, the eye was moving normally. She picked a mirror. She could see everything through. She was seeing normally. Everything was normal. So he asked her, what happened? He said, my sister and I prayed. No man of God, though. No man of God, though. He told me two stories. Later on, we were talking. He said that one, it just happened. Then he called me. The other one says the patient he had booked for surgery also on his spine. Then patient came one day and said, doc, he said, what's the issue? Can we postpone the surgery? He said, why do you want it postponed? I've not been able to walk properly. He said, but today, I had the vehicle that brought me drop me at the gate. I walk from the gate. That's up by a kilometer and a half. Say, I walk from the gate to your clinic. So I've been walking all over Enugu. Yeah, the guy said, normal place that you'll have taken a bus, he chooses to walk. This one of our brothers, you know who I'm talking about. He asked the man, what happened? The man said, somebody prayed for me. That's the only answer he had to give. He said, somebody prayed for me. See, it's the reason why I read Catherine Kuhlman, those testimonies. I want to let my body remember. You may have learned this one and that one, but there is what is called the power of his resurrection. There's what is called the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which gives life to our mortal bodies. I realize that God introduces himself. He says, I'm the Lord that heals you. Or better still, I'm the Lord, your doctor. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He opens blind eyes. See, we are talking about taking what is yours. One of the things you must do, that's what I told my household this morning. I say it's a new assignment. Every week, I want one name. We shared it out. Next week is this person's one. This fellow said next week, go to the scriptures and find me a name. Because every time God gives a name, it's to you, for you to know what is not able to do, about to do. Do you get my point? So when he says, I'm the Lord, see, when I got up today to come here to preach, my intention was to continue what we said last time. But I'm the Lord that he let it drop in my head. And I didn't plan to tell this story. So, you know what it means? He's about to heal somebody.
Yeah.
That's what it means. He's about to heal somebody.
Yeah.
If you enter into any affliction, the first thing you will do is call that name. Call that name. Call that name. Call that name. There's a name he called himself, said, he that has the key of death and of Hades. Which means if I lock it against you, you can't enter there. Do you get my point? See, a Christian's death is not a game of chance. They can shoot you blind, deaf, like that, death, you know, point blank. Put the bullet there and fire. God said, let anybody try it. They will understand a number of scriptures. Number one, no weapon that is fashioned against you will prosper. Then he said, the wicked, they've drawn their bow to shoot into the righteous. He said, this is the word of the Lord. Their arrow will enter their own hearts. Because not one moment before the day he ordained will you die. No. Not one moment before that time that he ordained. And that's why you need to call his name every morning. The one that holds my life in his hands. That's the name. I told my children, we shared it out week by week. It's one name a week. He said, I'm the Lord. I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children.
You know that's the name.
It's a name. It's a name. You see, let me tell you about God. You know, he said, I'm God, there is no other. You know why? Everybody's trying to be God. The doctor sometimes even wants to be God. Why should you as a doctor want to be God? Like I always say, are you crazy? Why do you want to be God? That your word is final. I've learned to just say, accept God. Only God. You know, you have to drop it in. You have to drop it in. No matter how bad something looks, you give God his place. You must give God his place in the midst of any terrible situation. You must give him his place. The life doesn't, people don't, you know what happened to Jairus? When Jesus came, they said, don't worry, master, again, the girl has died. No, Jesus knows how to make some points here. The point that he made that shakes me till tomorrow is that of Lazarus. In all his days, there was one day time he said, let me make a point for you people. All the while, he was just healing the sick, you know, doing, he was just operating anointing. He just one day said, I need to make a point. Just to help your faith. So you know what you believe. Say, our friend Lazarus has slept. Ah, Peter says, okay now. He has fallen asleep. Ah, Peter says, okay. If he has fallen asleep, that means he's going to recover. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Okay, let me say it the way you understand it. Our friend Lazarus is dead. But for your sakes, I'm very happy I wasn't there. He says, so that you might believe. I haven't studied the scriptures. That was one miracle he did that was not based on anointing. Yeah. It wasn't based on anointing. That's my understanding. If you have something to correct me about, let me know. But it wasn't based on anointing. See, all that's one of that, if I may touch the hem of his garment, that one anointing. He wasn't aware of it. He has prayed the general prayer, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because I anointed me. He has prayed that one. That was not covered. That the case of Lazarus was not covered by that prayer. This time around, he had to go to the Father and ask, send me Lazarus. He now said, you know what he said to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. Oh my God. He that believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live again. He said, no. It's not the last day. I'm saying, I have come. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me and the kidneys are not working, they will walk again. I am the resurrection and the life. If anybody believes in me, even though he was blind, he will see again. Amen. I am the resurrection. Ah, I love that name. These are the things. I said, look, I told my children, we shared it too. Everybody go and read. Find me a name. We declare for the whole week. When is your turn? Your turn will come back. It'll be reading your Bible and jotting the name. Some of you want to play me while you now. You will now write, I'm the resurrection and the life. But it's allowed. It is allowed. Is allowed. The Lord is my shepherd. God is a very good name. And that name is explained the rest of the verses. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, this guy is catching it. He's catching it. He's catching it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever I need will be supplied. Do you know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. It's a powerful name. If we just say, if you write it, the Lord is my shepherd, just know that you have recited the whole psalm. And you must recite it every day. When God wants to bless you, you know what he does? He reveals himself to you. And this is the word of the Lord for everyone listening to me today. I am the Lord that healed thee. Now I need you to repeat that. Now begin to pray. Yes, begin to pray. Say, you are the Lord that heals me. He is the Lord that heals me. You need to just be calling that. You need to learn to call his name. Who is Jesus?
The one who died by his stripes, I have been healed. Who is Jesus to you? He's my resurrection and my life. No, call his name, call his name, call his name. The Lord that heals me. The Lord that heals me. That's what he said. I am the Lord that healed thee. What we are just doing, just calling his name. Nothing else, just calling his name. The Lord, the healer. Compassionate and gracious. Abounding in loving kindness and truth. The Lord that heals me. There's another name he bears. He said, the God of all flesh. There's something about that. You have to call him that. The God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. That's part of it. You know what that means? Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible. That is a very important name. The God of all flesh, with whom nothing shall be impossible. You need to call the name of the Lord. The God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. Keep on calling that name. The Lord that healed thee. The Lord that heals me. The Lord my doctor. The God with whom nothing shall be impossible. That's a name. That's a name. That's a name. That is a name. That is a name. That with him nothing shall be impossible. The God of my flesh. My creator. The resurrection and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. That's who you are. The resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. Yes. You are the resurrection and the life that I live. The life by which I live. He said, I saw you in your blood. I said, live. No, one of my best scriptures. He said, I said, live. When God says to you, live, you can't die. Abba. You can't. Everything on this earth will cooperate to have that come to pass. I am the resurrection and the life. See, I don't want to even make any requests. Just be describing him for your soul. Say to your soul, he is the resurrection and the life. You did not drop on this earth by chance. He's your creator. Your life is in his hand. You are talking to your soul. Say to your soul, describe your God for him. When God wants to bless you, he reveals himself to you. When God wants to bless you, he reveals himself to you. Then you will take his name and lift up his name above every situation. Just lift up that name. 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 Say, the Lord that healed thee. You are speaking to your soul. Say, soul, listen. He is the Lord that healed thee. You are saying to your body, he is the Lord, your doctor. This God, he is a God of all flesh. There's nothing too difficult for him. There is nothing, nothing. There's nothing he cannot do. There is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing he cannot do. Nothing, nothing. Please describe him for your soul. Imagine that you are talking to your soul. You read the Bible, we are encouraged to talk to our soul. David will say, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Talk to your soul. You say, my soul magnifies the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You speak to your soul. Now, you are describing the Lord to your soul. Tell your soul, do you remember in that wilderness? Those who looked to him attentively. No. How did he say it again? They looked to him how? That may remind me. Expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, they where they lived. Remind your soul that the physical molecules, they respond to the word of this God. You are addressing your soul. Jesus came to that tree, said, no one ever after, hereafter, will eat of your fruit again. And that's it. It withered. Now, take the word of the Lord, the authority of God. Put it on your lips and speak to any affliction. Say, henceforth, I will not eat of your fruit again. Speak to that affliction. Say, henceforth, I will not eat of your fruit again. What is your fruit? Pain. Sleeplessness. Wastage of my money. Haba. How much is a loaf of bread? How much is one card of medicine? So I'd rather use my money to buy bread, to buy fruit, to buy snacks and drinks for my friends. Spending it on drugs is eating of that fruit. Now, sick to that tree of disease. Henceforth, I will not eat of your fruit again. And then you know what Jesus said, what the Bible said about that tree that Jesus cursed? From the root it withered. From the root it withered. From your genes that disease will wither. Whatever it is hidden, whatever is tucked in, it will wither. Because your God is a merciful God. Your God is a merciful God. The Lord, that's who He is. The Lord God. Compassionate and gracious. Slow to anger. And abounding in loving kindness and truth. Oh, did you sin? Yes, He said He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. I see? Now, you are telling your solo. Describing the God that you serve. The God that heaven and earth bows before. He's the God that you serve. And what did He say? That same God said to you, I am the Lord. What do? I heal you. Because of my righteousness in you, I'm not judging you, I'm healing you. Please, describe Him to your soul. Say it is the resurrection and the life that raised Lazarus from the dead. There is nothing He can't raise from the dead. I'm just describing Him to your soul. They say, your problem is genetic. remind your soul, remind your body of the genetic engineering that He did through Jacob. Just describe Him. Just describe Him. You're just lifting up His name. Just describe Him. Call it a name. The God of the genes. Because He said the God of all flesh. Is gene not flesh? Is gene not flesh? Answer me. Is gene not flesh? It is flesh. He's the God of all genes. Just describe Him for your genes. Describe Him. Describe Him. Describe Him. Describe Him. Remind your flesh. Remind your soul of what He said. Say, Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by His stripes I have been healed. See, that's what He said. He said, Himself took your infirmities and your diseases. By His stripes you have been healed. He was nailed to the cross for your forgiveness. He nailed your... Yeah, now, you are describing to your soul. You are speaking to your soul. So, soul, listen. Body, listen. This Jesus was nailed to the cross because of my sins. My diseases were nailed to His cross. He was whipped so I can be healed. By His stripes, by His scourging, I have been made whole. This Jesus, for this cause was He manifested, that He might destroy all the works of the devil. You're just describing Him. He said, there shall none be barren amongst them. That's what He said. You're just describing Him. You're describing Him. You know what He said? That's who He is. Brethren, that's how we pray. I was coming to thee, and the Lord said to me clearly, I am the Lord that healed thee. And I know He has come to heal those who are listening. Now let's begin to give Him thanks because He's so worthy. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Begin to thank Him, please. Brethren, begin to thank Him. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks. Thanksgiving is number one sign of faith. Give Him thanks. Say, Lord, I want to say thank you because you have revealed yourself to me today. Say, Lord, because... Now, I need you to say this. Say, Lord, because of this revelation, every affliction in my body, I speak to it now, be gone. Yes. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Now, it's the authority of the name and the word of God that you have used. It's not your own faith. I'm not saying conjure up any faith. Just say what I have said. Say it again. Henceforth, I will not eat of the fruit of this tree of affliction. Yeah, you need to say that again.
Say, henceforth, I will not eat. My family will not eat of the tree of this affliction. You are speaking to something there. Just take another moment and do that. Take another moment. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Give him thanks, give him praise because he is good. Give him thanks, give him praise because he is good. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The Lord that healed us, that's his name, the resurrection and the life. And say thank you to him. Say, Lord, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Quickly bless two people beside you, please. Say, this is your season. The second, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit, of the power of God, in the name. Now, one for yourself. This is my season.
This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit, and the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.